Rain, and you are listening to Movie Magazine on KUSF San Francisco.
Hello out there in Radioland. This is Andrea Chase, welcoming you to issue number 366 of Movie Magazine International. This week, Heather Clisby takes a mystical voyage courtesy of Martin Scorsese's Kundun and interviews a damp Randy Quaid about his new film, Hard Rain. Monica Sullivan reviews two indies, Grace of My Heart and Box of Moonlight, now out on video. Mad Professor Mike Morano checks in with a Headbanger video report, and I'll be exploring the ups and downs of true love with Oscar and Lucinda and Swept from the Sea. And for those of you who'd like a sneak preview of some upcoming films, we have tickets for advanced screenings. They are Great Expectations, starring Ethan Hawke, Gwyneth Paltrow with Anne Bancroft and Robert De Niro. That's screening Tuesday, January 27th at 7:30 p.m. at the Galaxy. Deceiver, starring Tim Roth, Chris Penn, Rosanna Arquette, Ellen Burstyn, and Renee Zellweger. You remember her from Jerry Maguire. She was so wonderful. Screening is Wednesday, January 28th at 7:30 p.m. at the Kabuki, and you have to be 17 or older to see this one. Live Flesh, directed by Pedro Almodovar. He's the one who brought you Antonio Banderas, so who knows what we can find in this film. The screening is Tuesday, January 27th at 7:30 p.m. at the Lumiere Theater, and you have to be 17 or older for this one, too. If any of these tickle your fancy, give us a call at 415-751-KUSF. We'll reserve a pass for you. The pass is good for two people, and you must pick it up in person at the station at 2130 Fulton Street, San Francisco, during regular business hours. And here's our trivia challenge of the week. In The Last Temptation of Christ, who was Martin Scorsese's unconventional choice to play Pontius Pilate? If you know the answer, give us a call at 415-751-KUSF for a pair of Landmark Theater passes. Now, stay tuned for Monica Sullivan's trip to Spice World.
As a preview screening of Spice World made abundantly clear, it doesn't really matter what's on the silver screen.
Or pudding and a magical birthday present of glass. Or screen points for an unconventional love story between true soulmates. Martin Scorsese tells the story of the 14th Dalai Lama. Though the Tibetan cause is a favorite of the film crowd, this picture is no political leaflet, but rather a bold painting, a lucid meditation of sorts. The story begins in 1937, when a traveling monk recognizes a 2.5-year-old boy, Tenzin Gyatso, as the 14th reincarnation of the Buddha of Love and Compassion, Kundun. Played by Tenzin Yeshi Pachang, the boy is lively, precocious, and all too aware that he is somehow special. Thus begins the careful teachings that will prepare Kundun spiritual and political leadership. We meet him again at age 5, played by Tulku Jamyang Kunga Tenzin, when he is already being regarded as a valued treasure among his people. Even his family must bow to him now. But the boy is not a king or a ruler, and his reason for existing is made quite clear. You are here to love all living things, his tutor says. Kundun, at age 12, played by the highly adorable Guillaume Tethong, is strong and aware. When the Chinese threat becomes real, he warns his advisors, I must know everything that you know. I am no longer a child. Throughout the film, the daily rituals, sights, smells, and sounds of the monastic existence are presented in their full glorious simplicity. The delicate sand paintings that close and open the film. The trance-inducing score of Philip Glass. The triple-pitch moans and chants of bona fide monks. Glass beads being worn and rubbed together in prayer. The sweeping grandness of the Moroccan landscape. All this from Scorsese, and not one mafia type in sight. Kundun is an epic, and comparisons will be made to The Last Emperor, another great historical tale of child as leader in Eastern world. But this aspires to loftier heights and, quite often, makes the climb. When the adult Dalai Lama, played by Tenzin Tsorong, is forced to leave his beloved country at the age of 15 and seek refuge in neighboring India, he is sick and tormented by the Chinese invasion and its effect on his people and culture. Melissa Matheson's screenplay was compiled from nearly 15 interviews with His Holiness. Some scenes, such as his meeting with Chairman Mao and his nightmare of blood-filled fish ponds, were experiences applied directly to the screen with no elaboration. The Dalai Lama of today is an easily recognized figure in our culture, which is what ultimately makes Kundun so thought-provoking. Now, this is a guy who hangs out with Richard Gere and was once the guest editor of Vogue magazine, and this is how his life began. Odd that Scorsese, of all people, chose to focus on a man who preaches steadfast nonviolence. Stranger still is that he pulls it off. For Movie Magazine, this is Heather Clisby.
Allison Anders' Grace of My Heart pays tribute to the
Hollywood, talking with Randy Quaid. Randy, I'm going to ask you the most obvious question of all, first of all. What was it like to work in all that water? And when I watched it, I just kept thinking about the actor's skin getting really wrinkly every day. Yeah. Was that what it was like?
Yeah, the prune effect was definitely a factor. And then the chlorine, too. It had an effect on your skin. It was very grueling. You know, I know what why the Chinese use water as a torture device. Is it having it rain on you, you know, all day long for, you know, 6 months is... It gets to you after a while. You don't feel like taking a bath when you go home.
And that's what I was wondering. And Mikhail Solomon worked with The Abyss, and he's worked with water before, I guess, apparently. But this is, from what the production notes said, the most amount of water used in a Hollywood picture ever. Is that what they warned you about when you agreed to the role?
Well, I knew reading the script that there was going to be a lot of water involved, and the director told me what it was, you know, the design of the set and everything. So I knew going in, I had an idea what it would be like, but actually getting in and physically doing the work was even more intense and horrible than I imagined.
Now, the stunts in the movie were pretty incredible, especially the scenes in the high school and with the jet skis and the boats and whatnot. Did you do a lot of the stunts yourself, or did they have people helping?
Yeah, I did. I was only involved, well, in a couple of stunts. Yeah, I remember doing everything myself except crashing the boats through the church window. I didn't do that, but the scene at the end when the boat's coming at me, I did that. Each time we did about 8 takes of that, and each take the boat would get closer and closer and closer to me. And finally, the last one, the director said, let this one take out the light. And the light was about, you know, a couple of feet away from me. So, but I never felt in danger or anything.
How did you approach your character? Because the sheriff, well, he's been a sheriff for something like 20 years, feeling completely unappreciated. Last minute, I guess, he decides to jump to the other side. How did you approach that?
Well, that's one of the things that I liked about the script, was the fact that this change that takes place in the character, and what what greed does to a person. And that's mainly what I wanted to explore with the character, is what does a man do who's been dedicated and on the right side of the law do when he's confronted with the chance to take $3 million and have a good chance of getting away with it. And what happens, what effect that has on him.
How many films have you done since you started making them?
God, I don't know, about probably 50, something like that, 40 films.
I just watched The Last Detail last night. How old were you when you made that?
Oh, God, I was 22.
It was pretty amazing. Yeah. And you worked with Jack Nicholson, and what was the name of the other actor?
Otis Young. Yeah, he's a minister right now, these
really?
Days. Yeah, yeah, or he was. I haven't seen him in about 15 years, but the last time I talked to him, he was in the ministry, gotten out of acting. It was really my first experience with you know, the whole, I guess, Hollywood movie making process. I'd done some bit parts in other films previously, but and working with Jack Nicholson so early on, I got corrupted pretty quickly. but I had a great time, and it did some wonderful things for me early on in my career, that movie.
How did you get from Texas to Hollywood? What made you decide to get into the business in the first place?
Well, I was going to University of Houston, and I was in the drama, majoring in drama and English, and Peter Bogdanovich came through town casting the Last Picture Show, and he gave me a part in that. And then about a year later, he called me to fly out to Los Angeles and be in What's Up, Doc. And I went out to do that movie and then got an agent and moved out there.
When you were growing up, did you ever think you would be an actor? Did you imagine something else?
I didn't really, I don't remember what I wanted to be. I don't ever remember being anything other than wanting to be anything other than in the entertainment field in some way. I started out, like, in school, you know, doing little talent shows, doing impersonations, and working a kind of a stand-up comedian act, you know, for a while. And then in high school, got into acting class, basically because the drama room was air-conditioned, and so I had no really, you know, aspirations or goals. But it just sort of found me, you know, the whole acting thing. And nobody in my family has ever been involved in that or in any of the arts in any way. So,
what did your parents do?
They were against it at first, because I'd have to go to rehearsal at night and couldn't do my homework. So they wanted me to get a regular job and something a little more secure, and but then fortunately I had some success early on, and that helped allay their fears. And then my dad became an actor. He got a Screen Actors Guild card and started acting. Yeah.
So he followed in your footsteps.
Yeah. He did some bit parts, and you know.
Is there a picture that you've been involved with that you feel particularly proud of, like when you look back on your career, something that really stands out?
Well, The Last Detail, I like that movie. I like Midnight Express. I like The Long Riders. I thought that was a very good Western. And like The Independence Day was fun.
What do you have in the future working on right now?
Let's see. I just played a convict that gets the electric chair and survives the experience and can't remember his crimes. He's a serial killer.
What's the name of that?
It's called Last Rites, and that'll be on Starz cable network. It's a new network in April, I believe. Then I have another movie called Punks that's coming out, but I don't know when.
Well, I appreciate you talking with me, Randy.
This has been Heather Clisby talking with Randy Quaid here at Planet Hollywood for Movie Magazine International.